Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm John Hutchinson. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay. I'm glad to be here. You know, we've done this several times, and it gets easier every time. But I want to, you know, this station and Cat Country as well, it's a great asset for Pensacola. I mean, it really is. We do 4 hours of news every morning, and then we have all kinds of other information during the day, local news and information. This station's won every award you can think of. In the Country Music Award, in New York, Marconi Awards, Public Service Awards, all those things. And so I hope folks understand what a great asset this is. And I, at the outset, I'm just going to say I feel privileged to be asked to sit in for Andrew McKay and working with great people like John Pickens and Dave Greenwood. And, I mean, these guys just do a super job, make it easy for me. So I'm glad to be here, happy to be here, and happy you're listening, and hope you've got a great weekend planned. It's Friday. And we've got a great show lined up for you today. It's the first day of spring, first full day of spring. The equinox was yesterday morning. Can you explain what happens during the spring equinox? You know, the Earth moves over the sun and the moon dips under Saturn or something like that, isn't it? What happens?
Yeah, I just know that I wasn't feeling good yesterday, so I think that that had a lot to do with that. I'm going to blame that.
The Earth was tilting and not in your favor.
Exactly.
The first tweet was sent on this day in 2006. That's
really?
Good. Yeah, that's good to know. Dallas, the show Dallas revealed who shot JR.
Oh, that was huge. I remember that.
In 1980. I still don't know who shot JR. I didn't care then, and I don't care now. I never watched one episode of that show. It seemed kind of stupid to me. But anyhow, if you know who shot JR, then you found out on this day in 1980. Martin Luther King began the Selma March on this day in 1965. Of course, you had the famous Pettus Bridge confrontation. So that began in 1965 on this day. And the first rock and roll concert was held on this day in 1952. It was called the Moondog Coronation Ball in Cleveland, Ohio, which, of course, now is where they have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But there was a disc jockey up there named Alan Freed, and he came up with the term rock and roll. And he put on this station put on this rock concert, Paul Williams and the Hucklebuckers, Tiny Grimes and the Rockin' Highlanders.
Where are those bands now?
Yeah, I don't know. The Dominoes.
Yeah.
And some other people you never heard of. But they, in typical rock concert fashion, the first rock concert, they overbooked it. And people showed up and pushed their way in. And they had people getting stomped on and crammed in. Mm. And so the police had to shut the concert down about halfway through because people were getting hurt and there was a near riot. So there you go. And that's how rock and roll got started.
Wow.
In Cleveland, Ohio with the Moondog Coronation Ball and Paul Williams and the Hucklebuckers. Okay.
I'd say that three times real fast, you know.
No wonder they didn't last.
But you would have remembered that, though. That's the thing. I would have remembered that name.
Yeah. I can't name one song from Paul Williams
either.
And the Hucklebuckers.
Sorry.
Hey, the city of Pensacola, some good news. The Haas Center has done a survey of residents of the city of Pensacola. They got people's opinions, and that's a good thing. Maybe Milton should do that. I don't know. Maybe Milton should have a survey.
Yeah, don't even get me started on
that
one.
Yeah. But 1,500 city residents participated. It was volunteer online. 70% believe that the city is headed in the right direction. That's up from 67% in 2023. And to me, that is a remarkable number. 70% of the people say that we're headed in the right direction. That's a lot of credit to the mayor and the staff and the job that they do day in, day out. Some of the things that people like, the American Magic Initiative at the port, 69% like that. The airport, 78% favorable. Does not surprise me. We have a wonderful airport. The port, 71% favorable. Pensacola Energy, 68% favorable. Some of the more neutral, negative results, 52% favored the Baptist Hospital campus cleanup. 52% favored the Palafox improvements. 56% said they were not satisfied with affordability issues. But overall, great stuff. And, you know, when you have 70% of the people saying you're on the right track, that's impressive. And I owe a lot of that, or give a lot of the credit of that, to the mayor and his communication style. You know, and I compare that to Trump, not on what they say, But in terms of being open, frequent communication, anytime a reporter has a question, they're willing to answer it, and they're willing to answer it with details, and they're willing to say sometimes, I don't know, but we'll find out, or that's a good question, let me get some more details. But the mayor does a great job in his press conferences and in other appearances. He's on here once a week, and other media as well, making sure folks understand what the city is doing, making sure that, that folks understand the city's not perfect, and he says that. They're very transparent, and I think that owes a lot to customer satisfaction. So my hat's off to the mayor, my hat's off to the city council, and to all the city staff that does such a great job for those wonderful results. 70% of people saying you're on the right track. That's great for Pensacola.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's great.
Let's go. All right, I'm John Hutchison filling in for Andrew McKay, and this is News Radio 92.3.
The Bayou Hills Run, the official 5K and 10K City of Pensacola Championships, is back on March 29th at beautiful Bayview Park. It's called the Bayou Hills Run for a reason. These hills are no joke, but push through and you'll be rewarded with an epic post-race party the whole family will love. Sign up now at BayouHillsRun.org. The course takes you along scenic Bayou Tahar, winding through East Hill's stunning tree-lined streets before finishing back at the park. Every finisher in the 5K, 10K, and kids run gets a medal. And once you cross that finish line, celebrate with great food, drinks, music, and plenty of fun for the whole family, including a playground for the kids. Race day is March 29th, so don't wait. Register now at BayouHillsRun.org and bring the whole crew. The Bayou Hills Run, the official City of Pensacola Championship, a Pensacola sports event.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. Call 800-335-2299. That's 800-335-2299.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why drink the water from my hand, contagious as you think I am?
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchison. I'm filling in for Andrew McKay. I'm glad you joined us this morning. This is News Radio 92.3 in Pensacola, and it is Friday. It is March the 21st, the first full day of spring. So welcome, spring. It is cold this morning, 40
degrees. Yeah, it was like, it didn't feel like it was spring today. Yet. Wait for the sun to come up.
Yeah, I had to turn my seat warmer on. It's like, what's up with this, man? Got spring breakers here, and it's 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But we're glad you joined us this morning. Hope you got a warm cup of coffee, and hope you're staying warm, and hope you got a great weekend planned for you. It is a spring equinox, though, but what does that mean? Well, it's the first day of spring. Think about it this way. We live north of the equator, right? And so from June 21st to December 21st, the Earth is slowly tilting away from the sun, which is why it's cold. While we get 8 inches of snow, in December in Pensacola.
Well, I got 10 inches in January.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
10 and a half inches at my house in Milton.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
That was nuts. Incredible.
But that's because the earth has been tilting away from the sun. And it does that until December 21st. On December 21st, it starts to slowly tilt back toward the sun, which is why it warms up when we have spring. But the earth right now on March 21st is halfway between tilting back toward the sun. So it's been slowly tilting back toward the sun. Today is halfway finished, which means the middle path of the sun is right on the equator, which means both the northern and southern parts of the earth will have the same amount of daylight and darkness, equal day. So we're halfway to the middle of summer. Just look at it that way, if that makes sense, okay? They've celebrated it for thousands of years. You know, you got Stonehenge was built to measure that. So if you want to build a Stonehenge in your yard, you can figure out that it's March 21st. All of our ancient and modern calendars, of course, based on the cycle of the earth tilting back and forth. I always said I wish I could feel the earth tilting back and forth. But anyhow, maybe some nights I do.
I really don't know if I really want to feel that one.
Some people feel it too much, I think. But so celebrate the spring equinox today. It's the first Earth Day was celebrated on this day for that reason. So I don't know if it's still Earth Day or not, but take a walk outside, have a picnic, plant some flowers, or if you want to mirror some of the ancient rituals, you can dance naked around a bonfire and sing John Denver songs.
Whoa, yeah. You get arrested for stuff like that.
Oh, I guess that's true. Maybe not in your backyard. But anyhow, welcome spring. It's a cold welcome, but welcome spring. We're glad you're here. Of course, spring means March Madness update, basketball, NCAA, men's tournament, women's tournament is going on. First round's going on. The SEC, of course, has 14 teams in. Actually, now they only have 13 because Missouri lost last night. But that's almost twice as many as any other conference. My Final Four, I filled out my bracket, and it's perfect so far.
Yeah, mine is too.
Yeah, I filled it out this morning. And just did the first round. I'll wait to do the second round later. But
yeah, because I really got to feel it, you know, see what's going on.
I got to see who the mascots are. That's how I decide. If I like the mascot, I picked a team.
I got you.
But my Final Four, Auburn, which has had a great, great year. Florida, also a great year. Two SEC teams, Auburn and Florida on one side of the bracket, and then Houston and Duke on the other side of the bracket. I've seen Houston play, and I've actually picked Houston to win it all. Now, they are really, really good. We were out in Houston and went to a basketball game. Their gym is about the size of the Woodham High School gym, or Washington High School gym. It's not very big. It's not a very big school. And to see these guys, you know, doing alley-oops and jumping all over that little court, you know, they get down the court in like four steps. But they were amazing. So I picked Houston to win it all, but we'll see what happens. I don't think anybody ever knows. The UWF women were in the Division II tournament, which is great. Fortunately, they lost in the first round to Emory Riddle, which is an engineering school. But so congratulations to the UWF women for making it to the tournament. And let's talk about women in sports for a minute, because the NCAA, they have banned men in women's sports, but you're still seeing it. Mostly at the high school level, but you're seeing some over at the college level too. So, and you know, the Democrats have found themselves in kind of a dilemma with this, because it's an 80-20 issue. 80% of the people oppose men in women's locker rooms, but the Democrats, for some reason, have decided that they support that. But some of them are starting to flip on that, and I don't think it's because they care about young women. I think it's because they care about the politics of it. They see that that's a losing issue. Gavin Newsom, if you know, recently, he moved on this issue, said that he is now convinced that it's deeply unfair to let men participate in women's sports. Well, I'm glad he finally came to that conclusion. It didn't take the rest of us that long, but he says it's deeply unfair, and he says it doesn't sound fair, no matter what the moral or safety issues there. To him, it's a fairness issue. So his solution was leave it up to the local school boards. Of course, he's looking at running for president in 2028, so I see he's moving toward the center. But that's been the drift of some other Democrats as well. More of them are saying, let the local school boards decide this. Adam Schiff said that the other day. He said local school folks decide about men and women's locker room. Other Democratic senators have said the same thing. So, and it got me to thinking, aren't these the same people that said parents had no business at local school board meetings? That the Department of Education knows what's best for your children, and You know, they'll decide what's going to be done. That was her position last year. You remember the FBI opened investigation on parents as terrorists who showed up at local school board meetings. Now they're saying, well, let the local school boards decide. So kind of an interesting flip-flop. And there's a couple of other flip-flops is that as well. But this comes at an interesting time for the Department of Education. It's being dismantled. Of course, Trump signed the order yesterday to dismantle the Department of Education. And the Democrats are now supporting local education decisions. So maybe there is some hope, but maybe they're listening to the 80% of the American people who agree that men should not be allowed in women's sports. They've also done a flip-flop on electric cars. Democrats are all for electric cars. Tesla, Elon Musk company, it was American car manufacturing, darling. But now they've turned on Elon Musk, too, smashing the cars and smashing the dealerships. I laughed. You see people painting and catching on fire their electric cars, and I think to myself, well, they've already paid for that. Elon's already got his money for that car, so he probably doesn't care what you do with it. But they are attacking some dealerships and those kinds of things. So they've turned on the very thing that they thought was the savior for the environment, and that's electric cars. And they complain, too, this is interesting, too, they complain, too, that Tesla paid no taxes in 2023, and they didn't. But do you know why? It was because the Democrats had given all those tax incentives and tax breaks for electric vehicle manufacturing. They gave Elon all these tax breaks, and then they criticized him for not paying taxes. So, I mean, and that's just the kind of stuff that I think helped the Democrats lose the election and doesn't help them from a credibility standpoint when they keep flip-flopping on issues and are always against something and find it difficult to find anything that they're for. But the American voter is watching, is listening, and they can conclude from all that Democrats are for men and women's sports and they love fraud and wasting government because they're against Elon and what he's doing. Not all Democrats, but I think they have to find some things to be for that really resonate with the American voter. So, all right, thank you for joining us this morning. We do have a great show planned for you. We've got some great guests coming up later on. We've got Ken Bell, who's a former Florida Supreme Court justice, who's going to join us to talk about all these lawsuits and all these judge rulings, this federal district judge rulings against Trump. Is that constitutional? Who's going to win? So former Supreme Court Justice Ken Bell will be here. We'll have a good discussion about all that. We've got a great rap coming up. We've got Lisa Longlighter. Everybody knows Lisa. She'll be here along with Dave Merzan, who will be here, former State Representative Dave Merzan, for the rap. So we do have that. We're going to discuss the process used by Florida, by the legislature and by the governor to appoint folks to boards, particularly UWF. Right now, the governor can just keep reappointing people to boards. They can have full voting powers without them ever having to be confirmed by the Senate. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And it's Friday, so of course we'll talk about movies with Julio Diaz. All right, all that's coming up right now. Let's go to David Green with the news.
Well, good morning. Education Secretary Linda McMahon says everything will be done legally when it comes to dismantling the department that she oversees. McMahon said that President Trump wants to close the Department of Education as quickly as he can, citing low reading and math scores among American kids. However, White House officials have said they will be waiting for congressional approval before the department is shut down completely. There was a Georgia man held in Afghanistan for over 2 years that's now been released. Marco Rubio making an announcement yesterday that 66-year-old George Glezman has been released after weeks of negotiations between the U.S. and Qatar. And a Southwest Airlines flight had to abort its takeoff at the airport in Orlando yesterday. An air traffic controller apparently canceled the plane's takeoff clearance after the pilot mistakenly began to depart on a taxiway rather than a runway. Southwest said the plane stopped safely and returned to the gate. Nobody was injured in that ordeal. And that's what we've got in our headlines for right now.
Well, wait a second. Did you say they tried to take off on the taxiway?
I did, yeah.
I thought you misread that or something. Because
no, that's why they canceled the plane's clearance. They said, You, sir, should probably just not be piloting a plane right now.
No, because there are definitely differences, especially at MCO. You can definitely tell the difference. That's interesting.
Well, now, you're a little bit of an unofficial piloting expert, right? With the simulators and that type of thing. So what's the difference between the taxiway and the runway?
Well, the taxiway is only meant for just taxiing.
So it's much smaller, right?
It's much smaller, yes.
As in, like, not nearly as wide, not as long.
And it doesn't have all the markings on it that every runway needs to have, because you need to know when the runway is getting shorter and, you know. But on those planes, they should have a system on there that says approaching runway 17.
Right, like a little GPS, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know how you'd make that mistake.
I don't get it. It's crazy. Thank you, David. Appreciate that, brother. John.
News. I'm CJ Papa. The showdown over those criminal migrant flights to El Salvador this afternoon. Federal Judge James Boasberg demanding the DOJ fill in the blanks.
Boasberg wants the DOJ to answer several questions, including what time the planes took off from the U.S. and how many migrants were removed via the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. President Trump is now calling on the Supreme Court to step in, saying unlawful nationwide injunctions by radical left judges could very well lead to the destruction of our country.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. President Trump, now the educator-in-chief, signing an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education.
Returning education, very simply, back to the states where it belongs.
Only Congress can completely erase the department. It's a flightmare of fire near a substation by London's Heathrow Airport. Closes it for the day. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 38 degrees in Pensacola this morning. Well, Pensacola recorded a historic year for tourism in 2024. Over 2.5 million visitors generated more than $2 billion in economic impact. Visit Pensacola reports a 2% increase in visitor numbers and a record $22 million in tourism development tax collections. Local businesses say that they're expanding due to a steady influx of tourists, while calls for improved parking facilities on the beach continue. Well, first there was American Magic, making Pensacola a sailing destination by training here for the America's Cup. Now, Olympic and professional sailors are here to compete in the GL52 Southern Series. You may have seen them out on Pensacola Bay. They've got a distinctive black sails. The GL52 Series is a racing fleet of 52-foot high-performance sailboats that were initially designed to sail long-distance races, but with the GL52 Series, they're sailing shorter race circuits. Each boat has a crew of 15. The city of Pensacola is providing logistical support for their event, such as letting them use port facilities. Mayor D.C. Reeves says these types of events will generate revenue for local businesses. Well, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. That's the word from Pensacola police after a recent Facebook Marketplace scam last week.
We recently had an ad go out locally that said all the furniture on my front porch is free to the first person to come get it. They showed the house, where it was, and two individuals went over there and did just that. Turns out it was fake. It was a scam. That person had no idea anybody was coming to their home to take the furniture off the front porch.
That's PPD's Mike Wood. Those two people ended up having to turn themselves in as officers were looking for the folks that took the furniture. No charges were filed, but Wood is recommending knocking on the door and talking to residents whenever you respond to a Facebook Marketplace ad. He says you can also meet in public locations to make those exchanges. Well, there's a new bill making its way through the Florida Senate that would increase highway speed limits. The Senate Transportation Committee has approved SB 462. That would raise the maximum speed on interstates from 70 to 75. It would also propose raising speeds on rural four-lane highways up to 70 miles per hour. Education advocates are discussing the impacts of dismantling the Department of Education. Andrew Spars, the president of the Florida Education Association.
If you have a child with special needs, your child's individualized education plan, the IEP, could be impacted. Not to mention students who attend before school programs, after school programs, enrichment programs.
And the department sends billions of dollars a year to schools for vulnerable students like the disabled and impoverished, and also oversees $1.6 trillion in federal student loans. Closing the Department of Education requires an act of Congress. 535 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, Wall Street winds down a trading this Friday following a down day on Thursday. The NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow Jones all finishing a bit lower. Investors may take a cue from overseas action today. Stocks in Europe trading lower as investors continue to worry about increasing global economic uncertainty. That's thanks to geopolitical tensions that are on the rise and also President Trump's trade tariffs. Another recall coming for Tesla's Cybertruck. The National Transportation Safety Board says that there's an issue with a cosmetic panel that could fall off and create a road hazard. Now, this follows another recall for Tesla last June when there were problems with the Cybertruck's metallic strips that ran along the trunk bed. Those were also coming unglued. And in the sports world, the Boston Celtics are being sold to a new owner. Symphony Technology Group's managing partner Bill Chisholm reportedly inking a deal to purchase the NBA team for over $6 billion. That would make it the largest sale of a North American sports team in history. And that is Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
When you looked at your lawn last year, how did you feel? Excited, proud, refreshed, or please don't look at my yard. I don't need you to look at my yard. Embarrassed, right? Well, okay, how do you fix that? Well, you start thinking about it now. If you keep doing the same things you've always done, you'll keep getting the same results you've always gotten, right? So you can't think about it then, you've got to think about it now. You call NSEC now. You find out about their healthy lawn program that makes your lawn healthy, lush, and keeps weeds to a minimum with 8 annual applications, timed, programmed, and targeted to get your lawn what it needs when it needs it. It's easy to get started. It's a totally free lawn analysis with an estimate. You can find out what are the specific amendments and things that will make your lawn get what it needs. You get nutrient applications with each standard visit, along with seasonal pre-emergent weed control, broadleaf and grassy weed control, turf damaging, insect control, and fungicide applications. Sign up today, get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes the initial soil sample and lime treatment on an average size yard. Find out more or sign up for an appointment at NSEC.net.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up.
But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. Woo! And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola today at 9 a.m.
p.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. Today at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Last Saturday night, severe weather threatened the Gulf Coast.
The National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch for Baldwin, Alabama, Escambia, Florida.
When warnings go up, News Radio 92.3's full team coverage goes into overdrive, along with our news partners at WEAR Channel 3.
We're all under that tornado warning, and so that is why we are going to be taking every storm that moves through our area tonight very seriously.
When you need to know, News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us now. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. Hope you're having a good morning.
I am. Do you ever get tired of being called Mr. Mayor, or have you gotten used to it? It seems like that'd be weird in the beginning.
You know, I forget what I'm actually called. I just answer. You know, whoever says anything. You
it
know,
sounds
DC,
vaguely like
Mayor. Darcy,
I like it.
You know, I just say it. You know, the worst case scenario is when I'm in Washington, D.C. That's the worst case scenario.
At a D.C. talk concert in Washington, D.C., and people are, you know, it's very confusing
exactly.
for you, I can imagine.
When I'm there, that's the biggest problem.
So much. Oh, my gosh. The press conference yesterday was chock full of information. Thank you for that. excellent stuff. Yeah. Let's talk real briefly about just one thing because it had come up. The cemetery downtown, I just posted a video last night. I know you're well aware of this situation, that when you're going east on Garden and you're going towards Alkenes, you have that stop sign and then to turn right. And then you have the like bend in the road with the 100,000 potholes you've got to navigate and, you know, then go north on Alkenes. Obviously, recently we had somebody drive right through the stop sign and drive into the cemetery. If you look at the fencing, you can see that it has been damaged many times in the past. Seems like a safety problem. Yep. Seems like, you know, if more signage would help, then more signage would have already helped. It seems like maybe a barrier of some kind. I don't know whether we're talking about those kind of metal rails like you see on the interstate when you're going over a ditch, or somebody had proposed to me, what about the concrete barriers that, like the temporary ones that divide lanes and construction sites, but painted, like had mural work on them, maybe dolphins, maybe the locomotive, maybe something decorative that would actually stop a car, but also help save pedestrians in the cemetery. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that intersection or bend in the road, whatever you want to call it, is probably the best microcosm example of the relationship between the state road and the city operations, right? And that that's not vilifying FDOT or the state road. They've been great partners with us on so many projects. But I think of it, what bothers me personally is that off-ramp coming south right there, same intersection, and how it looks, you know, in terms of the maintenance, in terms of, because that's the first impression you get when you get off the interstate into our downtown.
Yeah.
So if you've never been there before, you know, that really matters. And I joked during the IHMC groundbreaking or the ribbon cutting for the new building, I said, you know, half the fun of this is that we have something nice, you know, to look at, right, when you get off the interstate is this $40 million building, you know. And so, you know, so there's but it's a perfect example of Garden Street and Alkenes at that section is a state road, and how it operates is certainly not a decision that we make. And that being said, you know what I always say, that doesn't mean it's not our problem or that we say, well, then let's not worry about it. But there's always limitations. You know, how much right of way do we have to put a barrier in? There's rules about how much room you need to have, because if you have a sidewalk 2 inches behind a barrier and someone hits the barrier, what good did it do? You know, I mean, if someone is now just pinned under a barrier, hypothetically. So there's other things that I don't understand all the ins and outs of that our public works team does, that we could go look at that. And, you know, concrete barriers from a decor perspective, certainly are not ideal.
Well, not great. I would definitely paint it. I mean, I would definitely, it can be decorative, in which case it becomes an amenity instead of a problem. But yeah, concrete's not my favorite solution either.
And listen, I would say the example that we've corrected since I've been in that's the most similar to this is right there where Fairfield becomes 12th Avenue, right there at that bend we'd had. But that's a little different because it's kind of the back fence of houses, and it's not really a pedestrian necessarily a big pedestrian traffic area. So there's lots of things in the gumbo here to try to make that work.
Okay.
But certainly, I do not deny the need to look at that, and certainly we'll take a hard look because we just had that other episode, as you just mentioned.
Right.
It happened yet again recently.
And of course, we all want to make sure and protect the historical cemetery. I mean, there's all these,
of course, we
could find a solution, and as you say, even though it's not your baby, maybe there's a way to help make the baby safer. You can't control graffiti bridge, but maybe we can make the thing a little bit safer for people. You got the resident satisfaction survey came out. Very big positive number, 70% happy. Anything in there that really surprised you?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
There'll be different numbers that are good, better than you think in terms of approval, worse than you think in terms of department by department. But, not necessarily. I mean, obviously, I'm pleased that 70% of the citizens feel like we're going in the right direction, which really tells you two things. One, that certainly instills confidence in us that we're trying to do the right thing here and that people notice that. And two, it's why you don't take echo chamber poll surveys off of Facebook on particular topics, right? Because at the end of the day, there's lots of silent majority residents out there that appreciate being the number four state of the city. If you saw our we had like a 97% and a 79% favorability for fire and police, which is incredibly great. And that is not the case in many cities, I can tell you, across the country when I talk to mayors across the country. So feeling safe, feeling like we're going the right direction isn't always measured in social media. It's measured in, in living rooms and kitchens all around the city. And so that certainly instilled some confidence in us that whether you agree or disagree with every tactic we have, that our citizens feel like we're doing the right thing. And so so we were definitely pleased with that overall.
No, I agree. And it's, the few loud people who are angry and motivated show up to city council, and it's easy to think that that's 50,000 people, and it's not. And, the few loud, obnoxious, worked-up people who troll on Facebook, it's easy to think that that's everybody, and it's not. I loved, by the way, we'll talk about this in a second a little bit, I loved yesterday the Facebook post about the guy who was complaining about the red light cameras. And then everybody basically came to your defense, and you're like, hey, thanks for posting an example of why we have them. And people celebrate. That made my day because it's such a common sense answer to what, again, a few loud people who are opposed to them have kind of made, the perception is that everybody hates them. Speaking of yesterday's press conference and some of the questions that are in your satisfaction survey, the idea of having a resident parking pass, and I know in advance, asterisk, nothing is final yet. Here's what I'm wondering. The argument seems to be city residents are already paying property taxes, which go to infrastructure. Therefore, city residents should get some kind of a benefit on parking, whether that's free parking, whether it's all the time, whether it's a day or a night, whether it's a share discount like 50 cents an hour instead of a buck an hour, whether you buy a discount like you spend 10 bucks, you get 40 bucks in credit, whatever it is. OK, any shape of that seems to me to run contrary to the stated purpose of having paid parking, which is to get spaces to turn over, because if you make parking free for people, they don't turn over spaces. If you make parking cheaper for people, they don't turn over spaces. Help me understand how I'm misunderstanding this.
Yeah, and listen, you're absolutely right, and that still is the case. It's about supply and demand, and you heard me say in the press conference, that's why there's more nuance. Let's use a common example. Let's talk about a gym membership. If we went to every citizen and said, hey, there's an $80 gym membership a month and everyone could have one for free if they're a city resident, we're going to have a bunch of people sign up for it, probably all 20,800 households, right? But if we say it's $30 a month or $20, and we don't know what that number is yet, but
gotcha.
then it, you start to limit to the people who, number one, are already parking and are part of that inventory count, so to speak, anyway, meaning they're working downtown. So, it's still, that's why there has to be a cost, not because that money is going to be very consequential in the grand scheme of the parking application, but you just have to be able to delineate between, to your point, where you're not trying to flood the area. But you've hit on some of these things already. That's why we're looking at day or night. Do we look at certain zones? It might just be, hey, none of the permits work on Palafox Street, for example, but they do on Jefferson, or they do on Balin, or both. You know, that's what we're trying to look at, because it, this point allows me to point out the biggest misperception, excuse me, of all, which is that we have all of these paid spaces. Well, case in point, we have so few paid spaces that we have to be careful about saying, okay, you know, here are these permits. But again, what people forget, and you know, the quick tax lesson is what people forget is, if you don't live in the city or you don't own property in the city, then whether you eat at Nine Mile Road or at the beach or downtown, from a tax standpoint, we want you to support our businesses. We got awesome downtown, no doubt about it. But from a pure tax standpoint, it does not matter where you eat or drink in Escambia County. The city receives the pro rata share of the population. So we receive 1/7, 1/6 of the LOST tax for infrastructure, regardless of where you spend your money in the county. And so that's why when people say I spend my tax dollars, I live in Cantonment or I live on the beach, that is not necessarily the case. But it is the case for our city residents. They are paying city taxes and they are, you know, helping with our infrastructure. So we do need to do something about that. But to your point, that's the balance we need to find, is making sure. And sorry, one other thing. Remember, 85% of the people parking using parking transactions downtown do not live in the city. So we got to keep that in context as well. Is that it, right now, it is a very small sliver of the overall model of people that actually do live in the city.
And I take all of that. And you know, I understand that it's a balancing act, and I know you don't have the details just yet. It just that seemed to me kind of the, you know, the thrust had been, let's raise the price and the number of places where it goes from being free to being paid in order to facilitate turnover in the parking. And now we're going the other way as a fair giveaway to residents who are paying, but they work in tension with each other. That's all I wanted to bring up.
But that presumes that those people still paying, even if it's a lower amount, still paying for a parking pass every month, are now who were never parking downtown, were not part of the parking load, so to speak,
right,
are now going to be, you know. And so that's why if we hit it right, what we're really doing is we're hitting the people who are already paying, the local residents that are already paying to be downtown, they work downtown, whatever, and trying to give them a little relief since they are helping us with our infrastructure. So we're in agreement. It's about finding that sweet spot of that we're not trying to increase the load, because that is why we're doing this.
Right.
But trying to help out and give some relief to the people who are already using downtown to begin with.
On the red light cameras, question came up yesterday about, you know, well, we haven't seen any reduction in red light running. In fact, it's gone up, or it's, you know, held steady or whatever. Of course, and I appreciate your answer, which I totally agree with, which is catch me in a year. You know, give it some time to work and let's see what we discourage or not. But I have a sort of a second level question, which is, we're not so much trying to stop red light running as much as we're trying to stop crashes. And so to me, the real metric is not going to be, do we reduce infractions? The real question is going to be, at those intersections, if we look over history, have we reduced crashes? Because that's going to be the real test, right?
That's right. That's why, of course, we're going to monitor that as we go forward. But you talk about a lack of sample size. I already believe on 2,300 tickets in 1 month is a lack of sample size. Who knows what comes back next month? Is it 1,500? Is it 3,000?
Right.
It's way too early. And I would exponentially increase that warning if we were to look at crashes in 1 month, right? Because of a couple things. Number one, you know, there's this theory out there that if you have red light cameras, that now it creates more fender benders, which, number one, we've talked about many times. I'd rather have that than a T-bone. But also might be that you aren't following normal driving rules as well. But I've looked at data. You know how I am. And there can be a temporary – that's the difference. Some people think it's permanent. There can be a temporary blip because it's just new, right?
Right.
Someone overreacts or someone's not paying as close attention. But all the data I've seen, and robust amount of data that I've seen as we looked into this, was that levels off and flattens out and decreases – after a short period of time. So to me, even if we went to that, I'd have to look, even if we went to that intersection and there were zero crashes at all of them, I would never come out to a podium and say, hey, look, mission accomplished, there's been zero crashes, because it's just too early to say. I mean,
right.
who's to know that in a matter of a month? But to your point, absolutely. At the end of the day, that this is why we're doing it. And I've said that since the beginning on this show and on at the podium, I've said if this doesn't decrease crashes, if we have more crashes or more injuries or more deaths somehow, then there's no reason to do this.
Right,
so,
that's the ultimate metric.
But we're not
right.
going to make that decision after a month or two.
No, I completely agree. Before we do the frivolous lightning round, I did want to just kudos. Oh, my God, 311 had a 2,000-ticket backlog, and now 2 years into your administration, you've got that down to being 50 to 80 open tickets at a time. I mean, amen, brother. Like, that's extraordinarily well done, both to you and your team. So I don't want to let that go without mentioning it, because that is a huge accomplishment. That's fantastic. All right, we always like to end with the lightning round, where I ask you some, you know, quick frivolous questions. At what distance do you start thinking it's better to fly than to drive? How far away? For DC, who flies a lot, and of course, Semi owns the airport. I mean, not you personally, but you're the mayor, you know. When do you start flying as opposed to driving? What distance?
You know what? I've had this conversation so many times in the last 2 weeks because I just flew to Tampa. And to me, that's the line.
Tampa,
where you
okay.
have to go to Atlanta. You have to go to Atlanta and then down to Tampa. And by the way, a little birdie told me we might be doubling our jet service direct to Tampa on Breeze coming up this summer. But from 2 times a week to 4 times a week. But I would say it's about 7 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. So, for example, I don't connect in Atlanta to go to Jacksonville. You know, like that's 5 hours. You know, that's not – that doesn't make any sense. I think 7 with a connection is the minimum I'll do. I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but
that's where you're at. Okay. Yeah, all right. I get it. Yeah. Are you a napper? Do you nap during the day routinely? Sometimes, never? If so, how long?
Oh man. No, not anymore. I used to be able to sneak one in, I mean, gosh, once a year, maybe.
Oh, wow. All right.
You know, I mean, once every 6 months.
He's an anti-napper. All right. Because of convenience, or you like your job, you can't get away with it, or like?
I think I'm in this job, it's like I feel guilty if I'm for an hour on the couch.
Aww.
My brain's always working, really. That's how it is. It's like, man, what's going wrong? What do we need to be doing?
So, hey, you need to sharpen the sword, man. You need to, go play some golf, go play some tennis. It'll be okay. The city will go on without you.
Yeah, exactly.
Last one is a hoodie or regular sweatshirt or sweater if you're weird. Hoodie or sweatshirt?
You know what? I change it up. I'm wearing a sweatshirt right now, but... Yeah, I would say
no hand warmers.
Probably hoodie for the most part. Hoodie for the most part.
For the hood or for the hand warmers?
No, I don't even use the hood that much. I think it's the hand warmers. That's why we live in Florida, Andrew. We don't use that hood that often.
100% with you. Nobody puts the hood up. I love that. Mayor DC Reeves, always a pleasure. Yeah. Sir, we look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for your time. It's okay to take a nap once in a while. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Hey, it's Gambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work. No matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan, take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. I'm John Hutchinson, sitting in for Andrew McKay. We're glad you joined us this morning. If you were going to England today, I would turn around and go back because Heathrow Airport is closed. They had a big fire there. It's going to be closed for several days. So change your travel plans. Don't go to Heathrow Airport. We're glad you joined us this morning. Hey, if you want to text us later on in the show or right now, it's 850-437-1620. We look forward to hearing from you. Right now, let's hear from David Wayne in the newsroom.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.